The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or lands, for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. This Gospel follows immediately on the Gospel that we heard yesterday. Okay, so if you did not hear the Gospel yesterday, just the briefest of all possible recaps. A rich young man walks up to Jesus in the Gospel yesterday, and he says, "What can I do, good teacher, to be perfect?" And Jesus says, "If you want to be perfect, sell what you have. Give it away to the poor. Then come follow me." And the Gospel ends by saying the man walked away sad. He would not follow Jesus because he would not give up his possessions. It was the Gospel yesterday. And that's why Jesus begins today by saying how hard it is for one who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. And this was completely astonishing, not only to the apostles, but to everyone who heard him say so, because it was the exact opposite of what everybody in Israel at that time believed. They believed that wealth was a sign of divine favor, and poverty was a sign of a terrible curse. It's all throughout the Old Testament, these examples. Remember the story of Job? Job was thought blessed as long as he was rich, but as soon as Job's fortunes turned to poverty, he was thought to be cursed. Go through the Psalms sometime, and you'll find example upon example of this, where the psalm writer says, you know, "May your blessing, Lord, be upon us, our barns full of grain. May your blessing, O Lord, be upon us, our sheep, myriads and myriads on the field, and our cattle heavy with young. No ruined wall, no exile." You can see where the prosperity gospel preachers get their stuff, right? It's all over the Old Testament. Only trouble with that is Jesus says the exact opposite. How hard it is for one who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus deliberately counsels poverty. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? Because he wants your heart and your soul to belong to God alone. That's why. And there's something about money. It competes for the same place in the human heart that God wants to have. The place of security. The place of trust. The place of love. It's why Jesus says you cannot love both God and money. He doesn't say that about anything else, right? In heaven, God's love is uncontested. Not only is he number one, there's no rivals, right? That's why Jesus says it's so hard for one who's rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's why he says it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle, which, by the way, is semantic hyperbole. It's another way of saying that it's completely impossible, right? So in past days and weeks, I've told you a little bit about involuntary poverty, a little bit about how to accept when things don't go our way. How about this morning, just a tiny little thought about voluntary poverty? Poverty that we actually choose for ourselves. Here's the broadest of all overviews on that subject, okay? There's three levels to poverty, three levels to voluntary poverty. The first degree is when you define what your needs are, you meet your needs, then you give away everything else. That's the first degree of poverty. Second degree of poverty is when you define what your needs are, then you ask yourself, which of these needs can I live without, even though they're needs, right? That's the second degree of poverty. Third degree of poverty is when you don't even care what your needs are. You just want to identify with somebody else who's suffering. Those are the three degrees, the three levels of poverty. So, for example, in the first level of poverty, you identify what your needs are, you meet your needs, you give away everything else. There's no room for luxuries, superfluities. You're not sending any messages to the world that your kingdom is right here in this world or that your ship has come in. I know a priest who has a closet in his room. He calls it death row. Takes everything that he doesn't think he needs, puts it on death row. If it sits there for a year, he gives it away. He says, if I haven't used it for a year, I must not need it. That's the first degree of poverty, right? Second degree of poverty now. You identify what you need and you decide which of those needs you're not even going to meet. Think about going on a picnic. You show up at a picnic and you open up the basket and you realize that you thought you'd pack two sandwiches, but you only have one. What do you do with the one sandwich and the two people? You divide it. It's not enough for both, but that's what you do. When you have something and you realize someone you love has nothing, that's the second degree of poverty. You don't even meet your own needs for the sake of helping those around you who can't meet their basic needs. Now, the third degree of poverty, this is when you don't even care about your needs because you're so absorbed in the needs of somebody else. I know the story of a professional football player, great big manly man, locks of curly hair, and his son had leukemia. And he identified with his own son who lost all of his hair in the chemotherapy. He shaved his own head just to identify with somebody he loved who was suffering. I know one time I was down with the Missionaries of Charity Sisters in Tijuana, down in Mexico. And they just planted a garden, beautiful garden in their convent. Mother Teresa came by and saw the garden. She came to visit Tijuana. You know it's trouble when Mother Teresa comes and visits you. Comes by and she says, tear up the garden, tear it up. The sisters say, oh, but Mother, we just planted it and it's so beautiful. Look at all these lovely flowers. And she looked up into the hills and the country all around and all the shacks and the shanties and the poor. And she says, do any of them have gardens? Tear it up. That's the third degree of poverty. You don't even care about what your needs are, what you're so identified with what someone else needs. Why does Jesus counsel poverty? It's really very simple. Can you see that all three of those degrees are about love of somebody else? It's never an end in itself. It's never an end in itself. And God wants you to love Him and to love others. And as good as it is as we accept it when it's involuntary, it's even more precious when we choose it for ourselves. We've given up everything and followed you, St. Peter says to Jesus. Those are the words of someone whose heart and soul belong to God alone. Let's pray that those words can be our words as well. Amen.